going through it slowly because James is got so much in it, and a course that basically is about Christian living and maturing in things. You know, we need to grow up into the things of God. But today we're going to be talking about putting our faith into action. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read. We're doing James chapter 2. We haven't got too far, but it's great to go slowly, isn't it? There's so much when you start digging in. So faith, yeah, put faith into action. So I'm going to read verses 14 to 26, and then we'll go back and unpack some of them. So here we go. We'll just commit it to the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for the scriptures and the word that we have today. I thank you that James is a book that can really speak to our maturity. If we, you know, if we're lacking anything, we can examine ourselves. And James tells us how we should be living and how we should be maturing. So I pray, Lord God, that you would touch every heart that needs to be touched this morning, that you would encourage us in the word. Lord, your word comes to correct us and to encourage us and sometimes even to rebuke us. But Father, we thank you because your word is your word, and we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just have a quick sip. Okay. So James chapter 2 verses 14 to 26. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, that person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So we're going to have a look through there and just unpack and see what James is saying. So these verses in themselves can be quite challenging and sometimes even a bit confusing. And apparently, some people have completely misunderstood these scriptures. Back in the 16th century, reformer Martin Luther, he rejected the book of James and he called it an epistle of straw. He believes that James even contradicted the Bible and especially Paul's letters because James was emphasising the law, and he believed that salvation comes only by grace, which we know it does. And so Martin Luther even appealed to have the book of James removed from the Bible. Yeah, it's a bit of history there. But of course we believe that salvation comes by grace. But James is talking to some specific people here. He's talking to his congregation, people there, and they were already saved, okay? So we're going to see that as we look into the scriptures. But as Christians, we need to understand that the relationship between faith and works. Works don't save you. Going out just doing good things doesn't save us, but they show that we are saved. And this is what James is saying to Christians. We need to be people who demonstrate our faith by the way we live. Not just have a belief system or believe in things, but the way we behave should be constant with what we believe. The way we talk, the way we act, the way we live is evidence of our faith. I mean, anybody can go around believing in something, and people do believe in things, don't they? But it is the way you live and your actions that speak, your conduct speaks, and that's the real evidence of what you believe in your heart. Works don't save you. They are just proof that you are saved and that you are born again by faith. You can kind of tell James is a fan of works because he tends to call it as he sees it, and we've heard in the previous scriptures, because it's all to do with Christian living and coming to maturity in our walk with Christ. And we're all mature people here today, I know, so we can cope with this, can't we? The word works, and I've got that scripture there, in this context means works are good actions in response to God's grace. So that's what works are, if you're wondering. Works is good actions, okay? So doing good things for people, which is great. And there are a lot of good people out there who do wonderful things, but are they saved? Not everybody is. So works are not necessary to be saved, but they are evidence that you are saved. And I'm going to be making this point again and again. And James is making this point too by saying that if you're a mature Christian, you will put your faith into action. Now there's two verses here, verse 17 and verse 24. Verse 17 says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And verse 24 says, "You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." Apparently, these are the two scriptures that have messed up people's thinking over the years. But as we know, and we get taught at Bible study, that you cannot just pick out a couple of scriptures and build your own little message on that. We have to take the scriptures in context, and we can't just be, up in arms about one thing that we don't agree with. When we put it into context, we can see, and we will see, what James is saying here. And if we don't do that, we'll miss the point. So then we go on, and verse 14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can that faith save him?" So he's asking his congregation, can that kind of faith save people? He's asking them the words, you know, out of a person's mouth, if that's all there is by saying, "I believe," can that save them? And then he goes on to speak of a situation where someone speaks words of faith but doesn't act them out. Verse 15, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food," you know, he's not just talking about anybody when he says that. He's talking about a brother or a sister. And I'm just really excited because Elizabeth has got together our pastoral care team again. And this is what we can do, is good things, good works, because we are saved. And we show that to one another. And, of course, there's a balance in everything here, okay? There's a balance, always a balance. Excuse me. So James believes full on that faith should result in our action. Verse 22 says, "You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works." So I guess it really shouldn't surprise you that James keeps making these statements. He says it a few times because he has told us in previous scriptures, don't just be hearers of the word. Don't just hear it and then go away. Do it. He was big on doing. He's emphasising this all through his scriptures here, is doing. Don't just listen. Don't just talk. Do. And what James dislikes is people who walk around with empty claims about what they believe and have no action behind it. You see, it's really easy to say you believe. Most people, if you ask them, will believe in God and even believe in Jesus. So what makes us as Christians stand out to be different from just anyone who believes? Good thinking, isn't it? It's good to ponder that. There's a little snippet here from A.W. Tozer, and he writes this: "Faith now means no more than passively accepting the word of God and the cross of Jesus to exercise faith. We only have to rest on one knee, not our heads in agreement with the instructions of a personal worker intent upon saving us. So what he's saying here is all you got to do now is nod your head in agreement. Yep, I believe. But James is saying there's more. There's more. Not just believing. You know, the definition of biblical faith goes so much deeper, doesn't it? And it goes so much beyond our intellectual thinking as well. You know, we've all got thinking, but we have to do things and put them into action. And James says in verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But are the demons saved? Of course they're not. Of course they're not. That made me think, wow, demons believe in Jesus. They know his work and they don't like what he's doing and they come in to try and destroy it and get us off track. But, you know, we can look at this famous scripture that we've all know off by heart, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So to believe according to the Bible means that we put our faith in Jesus, we put our complete trust in Jesus, and I have full confidence in him. And particularly to believe in Jesus means to believe in what he did on the cross. Now, not everybody even thinks about that when you ask them if they believe in God. They do, but do they understand what he did for us on the cross? And it was enough, wasn't it? He did it, and it was done, it finished, it was enough. And that's the biblical definition of belief. To have our confidence and our trust completely in him and everything that he did. You know, when you're talking to unbelievers, it sort of made me think about it. You know, you say, oh, do you believe in God? And then, well, where do you go when they say yes? You know, maybe we need to change the way we say that. Like, have you received God into your life? Have you received Jesus and what he's done for you? So I thought that was something that I thought I'm going to start to do that instead now than just ask someone, do they believe? And when we've got this sort of faith and understanding and we've received Jesus into our life, that faith that we have should be expressed in action. So he gives examples. He says in verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person? He's getting frustrated with his congregation by the sound of it, doesn't it? That faith apart from works is useless. And then he gives an example of Abraham. He goes on to say this in 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 22 that God said to Abraham, I want you to offer your son, your one and only son, the one that you love. He said, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice on the altar and sacrifice him to me, offer him to me. I mean, that's a pretty big thing to do. And Abraham, he put his faith into action because he trusted God that somewhere along the line, God wasn't just going to allow him to kill his son, or if he did, he'd raise him to life again. He had faith in God. He didn't know what to expect, what to do. But he put his faith because when you hear from God, when you hear a word from God to say go, you got to go because you're compelled, because you know that God's told you, not someone has told you, not someone else. But when God says something to you, that's when we have to listen. And he did, and he put his faith into action, and he got up on that mountain with his son, and he even tied him up, and even to the point where he had the knife to Isaac's chest, but God showed up. And sometimes we just got to go with what we believe God's saying to us, because God will show up. He will show up. And he showed up and he said, now, Abraham, you've proven your faith to me. He had a big call on Abraham's life, didn't he? And so he needed to know that Abraham was going to be obedient to that. And I don't think he would do that to everybody. And God proved, and he provided then a lamb for a sacrifice. And Isaac didn't have to die. And he gives another example in verse 25. He says, in the same way, Was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Another story, Rahab's a prostitute living in Jericho. The Jews had sent spies into Jericho. She takes them in, hides them, protects them, probably feeds them, puts them up, and she's commending their God. She's commending their God because she sees something in them. And she's a Gentile and a prostitute. They just, you know, that's just the enemy, you know, the evil ones there. And yet she's talking about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to these Jewish spies. She gives them shelter and she says, when you come back, will you remember me? And they say to her, well, if you tie a red scarlet ribbon around the door of your home, you will be protected and we'll come back and get you. And they did. But she had to have that faith to put into action. That's a silly little thing. Tie something on your door. But she did that. She followed up her faith that she could see of their God was now her God, and she tied that cord on the door of her home, and her action proved that she demonstrated what she believed, and she was very brave. Verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also is faith apart from works is dead. And we have to understand that James is not saying that we're justified before God by our good works. He's actually saying that our faith is proven by our good works. And if you look up the word justified in the Greek, it's got a few meanings there, but one of them is to acknowledge. So our faith is acknowledged by our actions, and that's the point of what he's saying. It is acknowledged as being true and genuine by what we do. And in the case of Abraham and Rahab, it was what they did. And I guess you could say it was the fruit of their faith. When you believe something, you act on it. You know, it could be like prayer. If we really believe that prayer worked, wouldn't we demonstrate it more? Wouldn't we do it more? That talks to me. You know, if you really believe something and it's going to make a difference, wouldn't we do it more? Wouldn't we get before our God and pray? If we've got the faith, let's put it into action. And in this coming year, let's be prayers. Let's be ones who come before the Lord with our faith. He will tell us what to pray. His Holy Spirit puts things on our heart all the time. And you can kind of tell as you read through this passage that there's specific kind of personality or people with attitude that James is targeting in this letter. He's quick to talk about the person who says, oh yeah, I believe in God, that's fine. But you just know when you talk to them that they've never really given faith much thought. They just say they believe and they're quite happy at that level. They believe in God but they don't go to church. If you really believe in God and have faith, wouldn't you want to do what his word says and come and worship corporately with God? There are people that James, these people he's talking to, he's targeting particular people, the ones, again, that go around saying, yeah, I believe. But yet, you know, God, he transforms our lives if we will allow him to. If we would have that kind of faith and make decisions on his word. Stick to his word. You can't go wrong. You know, and he will transform and change us because real faith, real genuine faith will transform us. And if I look back several years, you know, my teenage years, whatever, and I look and I think, oh, I don't know that person anymore. I did stupid things. I'm sure we all have. I don't recognise that person anymore. You know, when I talk about the past, it's like I'm talking about a different person, you know, I am. I mean, I didn't live for Jesus back then, you know. I certainly always believed in God and Jesus, was brought up in the faith, didn't put it into action till a long time later. You know, we have different goals, different ideas on what life was all about. And not everything changes immediately, but, you know, we can see the change. Natalie, from when you first came here, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, the change in that girl. Because why? She's putting her faith into action. She's reading the word. She's praying and spending time with the Lord. And it shows. And so in finishing, you know, we're told in the scripture by Paul that we're to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. Now, everything in the Bible has to be weighed up, okay? As I said, you just can't pick a scripture and build something on that. We have to take two or three, look at the context of the day and who's talking and where they're talking. So everything's got to be weighed up and balanced out. And I don't want, there are some people that are so sensitive, they think, oh, you know, I'm not saved. I'm not saved because, you know, this is really condemning me. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take those vulnerable people and he wants to get them afraid because, you know, they, in their mind, in their heart, they don't measure up. They overthink everything and put their lives under a microscope. The Bible calls these people faint-hearted people. But I want to say this is not the sort of person that James is talking to. The enemy gets a hold of these people and he condemns them. And before long, they can be tormented by not believing they're good enough, by not believing that they're ever going to be good enough or that God could never forgive them. But I want to remind you that James is talking about people who are just casual in their faith, and the Word of God has to address everybody, doesn't it? You know, different things relate to different people because we're all on different levels, you know. And some Christians struggle with embracing the Word because they just don't understand the difference in things. I mean, Paul, he sent a letter to the Galatians with a strong warning. Then he sent a letter to the Corinthians, which was full of just correction. And he wrote to the Thessalonians to encourage them because they were in a different place. And it's the same as us. We're all on a different level. And we are different stages in our walk, different journeys we've had. But, you know, we have the same God. And we're going to encourage each other. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all." The word admonish here means to rebuke or to reprimand and correct someone firmly. Some people need that. They need, now hang on, this is the scripture, you know, and we always do that in love if needed. But some people just need encouragement. And we all have to be patient with each and every person. Some people get things quick, some people don't. But he's talking here to people who are just idly, casually, yeah, I believe, and that's it. But maybe God is talking to someone today or to all of us. You know, the thing with me is pray more. If I believe, then I'm going to pray more this year. That's what I want to do. And Paul does tell us to examine ourselves. So if there's anything in this today, and if James is talking to you about that, then I pray that the Lord would convict you, that you would take it in your heart. Conviction's a great thing. It sets us on the right track. But I just want to encourage you to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Amen. Amen. So James is, that's those scriptures there. We move on to chapter 3 next time I speak. And we'll see what he's got to say then. But he's certainly into doing, not just hearing. Because remember, if you look, it says if you look in the mirror and then you forget what you look like. That's because the Word of God reflects in us. And if we don't look at ourselves and think, oh,